Okay, Rabbi Yisai, today's daf is daf Samach Aleph, and we're holding at the very top of the Amid, brand new Mishnah. Really not brand new because we went through the Mishnah yesterday on the Amid base. This Mishnah is very interesting in the sense that on the surface, it looks like they're two separate cases, Reisha and Seifa. The Reisha begins, of course, at the very beginning of the Mishnah, HaMetar Yenish Loiv Kechovim. Then you go down about 8-9 lines, and towards the beginning of the line, it starts again, HaMetar Yenish Loiv Kechovim. Posh it on the surface, it sounds like these are two separate cases, a Reisha and a Seifa. However, Rashi says no, that the Reisha and the Seifa is Hainu Hach, it's all one case, notwithstanding that Rabbeinu HaKadosh repeats it almost verbatim, HaMetar Yenish Loiv Kechovim. So let's see the Mishnah, and we'll see the Rashi shortly, and see the Pshat. Look at the Mishnah, HaMetar Yenish Loiv Kechovim. We already had this yesterday. You have a Yid that wants to go and produce wine for the kosher consumers, and so therefore he makes up with a Goy that owns a wine press, that he is going to go and take over the next run, so to speak, and it's all going to be done al taras hakodesh, which is, by the way, from my very, very little knowledge on this matter, this is the way many companies work today. You have a kosher company goes to one of these large international companies and takes over the process for a day or two or whatever to produce a kosher run. So you have a matar yenish loiv kechovim, person matar. The word matar over here doesn't mean tumah v'tahara. Tahara over here means, oh, our brethren are now arriving. Gentlemen.
Yeah, we had to wait a little bit today.
Okay, well, we waited over here also impatiently for a long, long time, and then we started about 30 seconds ago. So you'll please bear with us. We're in the Mishnah on Samach Aleph Omer Aleph, and the Mishnah begins, HaMetar Yenish Loiv Kechovim. Metar Yenish Loiv Kechovim means that you had a Jew that arranged with a non-Jew to go and take over his wine press for a day or for a week or for a month, and he's going to make now kosher wine. Kosher wine, of course, means make sure that no goy is involved in the process, at which point it might become chas v'sholem yayin nesach. So he took over. So he's metayah. Metayah means he made it all kosher, kusher, v'yusher, mahadrim and mahadrim.
And isn't it important to add that it's the grapes of the goy?
Yeah, the, I don't know if it's necessarily the grapes of the goy.
That's what came up yesterday's Gemara, I think.
I don't know if that's necessary for today. Well, for today's Gemara, it's not necessary. Okay. Anyway, see, Matar Yenish Alev Vichom Venoisim Rishusa, but he leaves the wine there in the Rishus of the goy. In other words, he doesn't take the barrels home with him or puts it in a Jewish storage bin. He leaves it by the goy. Okay, now what happens? Continues the Mishnah. However, where he left the wine was Babayis HaPasuach L'Rishus Haram. Now, since we're talking about that, it's already in the bayis, it sounds like that they already took the wine out of the bar, put it in barrels, but instead of taking the barrels and taking it home, we left it in the bayis that belongs to the goy. However, says the Mishnah, the bayis is Pasuach L'Rishus Haram. The bayis is open to Rishus Haram, meaning that people that are traveling in Rishus HaRabim can see the house, can see inside the house, at least when the door is open. There's a machloikis hamafarshim, whether the bayis hapsuach means that it has to be open at all times, not that the door has to be open at all times, but for instance, that the barrels have to be visible to Rishus HaRabim at all times. So it could be that there are windows, etc. Or others say it's not really necessary, it has to be visible at all times, just whenever you open up the door to the house, it's visible to the Rishus HaRabim. And we're talking about a city, Be'ir Sheyesh Bo'ovdei Chacham V'Yisraelim. They're both Goyim and Yidden that live in this town, and so therefore there is what we call the principle of Mirsis. Mirsis means that the Goy is nervous or concerned or afraid of being caught in the act of being menasech the yayin. Therefore, because he is concerned, and because there are yidden that are going to look in, and they know that Yankel Smith, these barrels of wine belong to the kosher wine Yankel Smith's company, and they're going to go and see that the goy is opening up one of the barrels to go and be menasech. So therefore, he's mirsis, he's afraid. Mutter loch, he allowed to go and take that wine. And it's mutter bano, mutter bishtia, als is good. However, if it's be'ir shekuloi digachavim, there are only goyim that live in this town, no yidin, so then there's no mirsis factor. He is able to, the goy that has these barrels of wine in his own rishus, he's able to go and open the barrels at whim, whenever he wants to. So then it's asur, because of the potential of yayin esach. Ad, in our mission says, sheyeshiv u'meshamer, the Bach changed it, ad sheyoshiv shoymer. Go and have a shoymer, have a mashgiach there. The mashgiach will watch, make sure that nobody touches the barrels, nothing to worry about. Now, do you say that it has to be a mashgiach tamidi? No, it only has to be a mashgiach yoytze v'nichnas. And that's where the expression comes from, where the Mishnah says, he doesn't have to be there 24/7. Is enough. Why? Because every time that the goy is going to want to open up the barrels and chas v'sholom go and be menasach the wine, oh, he's afraid. Maybe Pinkyetz, the mashgiach, is going to come and he's going to chap him, and it's going to be very, very embarrassing. Besides, of course, the potential for a major financial loss and a lawsuit and all the rest. So he's mirsis. Reb Shimon Elazar oimer rishus oivdei kachavim achasi. The rishus of all goyim is one. What does that mean? Says Rashi, Mefarish v'Gemara. What the Gemara is going to talk about is whether Reb Shimon Elazar comes to be machmir on the Tanakama, or does he come to be makel on the Tanakama. And it's going to focus on our Mishnah said until now, that where were the barrels of wine? Birshusai, the rishus of the goy. The goy was holding on to those barrels. What happens if the barrels were not in the rishus of that particular goy, but he gave it to another goy to hold? Which other goy? His neighbor, person across the street. Doesn't make a difference. But he left these barrels in the rishus of another goy. Does that make it better? Does that make it worse? That's Mitzvah we'll see in the Gemara. There'll be a machlekes. Continuing the Mishnah, and as we said in the introduction, this is not a new case. Zat moichel tayr a chushavin, zat moichel a bissel stiller. Man tayr you did a bissel stiller. Grace shkoye chashayim dank in numen from the ganze oilem. We continue the Mishnah. Hamatar yeni shel oivik chom venois noy bershuse. See word for word like we started off the Mishnah. Valoi koisev loy hiskabalti mimcha mois. What does that mean? Now, we're now going a little bit deeper into the financial arrangements between the Jew and the goy. What are the financial arrangements? That when the Jew took this wine press for the next week or two or three to produce the kosher wine, there are two ways of arranging for the financing. Meaning that as soon as the barrels are all finished and they have the kosher wine, you could have a situation where the goy says to him, okay, now, you know, we've been idle now in this wine press for the last 2-3 weeks. You took over the production. I want you to go and pay me for all the wine that you produced, etc. That would be one way of doing it. Another way of doing it is he goes and gives him a receipt and he says to him, you know what, you're a fine Jew. I see that you're erlich, you're honest. I'm going to go and give you an advance in the sense that you don't have to pay me until you sell your own wine. Because after all, the Jew says, I don't have any income until now, only a lot of overhead expense in terms of the whole production. And therefore, the goy says to him, you know what? I give you a receipt right now. Hiskabalti, Rashi says, ki'ilu hiskabalti. He didn't pay him a penny yet, but he gives him such a receipt. Hiskabalti mimcha mo'ais. You've already paid me. Then it's mutter. Now, what does that mean that he's already paid me? Since he already, at least that's what the receipt says, that you've paid me, so therefore, who does the wine belong to? Totally to the Jew. The only thing that the goy has on it, we had in the Rashi yesterday, he has an apoitiki, he has a mortgage or a lien on the wine, but lamaisa, the wine at this time belongs totally to the Jew. And therefore, the goy is a little bit afraid, nervous, concerned, what the Rashi calls mirsas, of going and touching the wine. Wine doesn't belong to him. He already gave a full-fledged receipt to the Yid that you paid me for, even though he didn't pay him for it, but that's what he wrote. So now the Yid has free to do whatever he wants. then it's mutter. You don't have to worry about the goy touching the wine because he's mirsis. It's mutter. And again, Rashi says that this is just a pirush of the reisha. We're just continuing on to explain the reisha. Avlim yitzi Yisrael lahoitzi. Yes.
Yesterday, that when there's an apotheki, the wine, the coin thinks that it belongs to him. So he goes and he touches, so that's not a kosher.
What you're saying is absolutely correct. So if you go back to the Mishnah of yesterday, we started off the Mishnah. I'm looking at the Mishnah on Samach Omid Beis. Ivicham Shinimta Omid Betzada Borshal Yainim Yeshli Olav Milva Olav is Osir. Einlei Milva Olav is Mutter. Right? That's what you are referring to. That's all very, very good. But then the Gemara, when it brought the Mishnah, now turning to Gemara, Omar Shmuel, Vushesh Lamilvo Yisayayin, and he brings a ray from our Mishnah, Ditnan, third line after the Mishnah, Hamatar Yenishloi Vichoma Noisim Rishus Valde Koisol Yiskabalti Memchomois. Oh, that's our Mishnah that we're quoting right now. What did it say in the Gemara? Mutter. Why is it Mutter? Because since he gave him that receipt, now he's already Mirsis. So if you look at the Rashi, I'm looking at the Rashi Samach Omid Beis, about 12 lines before the wide lines down below. I'm giving you a full receipt as if I got paid. She'eini me'akev biyadcha lahoitzi yayim irshusi b'chol eish shetirtze. Even though I have the apoiteki, I have the lien, I have the mortgage, but you have free reign. Any time you want, you can go and take out these barrels. Then it says the Mishnah that it's mutter. And that's the Mishnah that we're learning now. And therefore, our Mishnah is not at odds with yesterday's Mishnah. It's rather telling us if there are different terms. In yesterday's Mishnah, we didn't give a receipt where it says kilu hiskabalti. There's a regular mortgage on it. And therefore, if the goy wants to touch the wine, he's not afraid of touching the wine. Because after all, he says, I have not the owner equity in I'm not the equity owner of the wine, but I'm the debt owner of the wine. The fact that I have this apoiteki on it. Oh, so that it's taka osim, yeshlei milav ula. But here, if he's giving him a receipt, so that undermines the lien that he has on it. He still has a legal lien, but Lamasa, the shtar says, it's all yours, you can take whatever you want. So therefore, it's mutter, the goy is mirsis, he's not going to touch the wine. Continuing our Mishnah. Avam yirtzi Yisrael lohoitzi v'einay manichoy. What happens if the Yisrael, he calls his trucker to go and take the barrels of wine away, and now the goy screams, no, you can't take away the wine, you didn't pay me yet. In other words, he didn't give him such a receipt, but he wants to make sure that the Jew pays him. Or if he doesn't allow him to take the barrels of wine without his permission, until he pays. So he might be Che'an, the Osir, then that was the story in Che'an, and they said that it's Osir. What's the reason why? Like Bill was just saying, because since he has a milva olive, and he's nervous that the Yid is not going to go and pay him, and therefore he says, I'm not letting you take out the barrels until you pay me the money. And therefore he, the goy, considers himself to be the ganze balabus over this wine. I have to worry about that when nobody's looking. He's going to be meshachshech and benasech, and he's going to make the wine yayin nesach. We're going to talk much more about this, Rabbeisai, in the Gemara. Zuk Gemara. We started off in the Reisha, and we were mechalik between a city that was both resided by goyim and yidin. Remember the third line, ir sheyesh ba'ovdicham Yisraelim is mutter. Why? Because of this mirsis factor. But if it's be'ir shekuli ovdicham, they're only goyim, we said it's osir, because there's no one to be afraid of. Zokti mara be'ir shekila ovdicham nami vo'ikar roichen amachzin ba'ayorois. Okay, it's true. All of the people that live in this town are alas and goyim. But nevertheless, but they're always yidlach that are coming around for business. You have peddlers who are typically, or many of them were, in the business of selling cosmetics to the women. And they went from door to door, from town to town, selling their cosmetics. And so therefore, vayta, shouldn't the goy be afraid, not of yidin that live there, but yidin, tourists, businessmen, people that are passing through. Why isn't he concerned about that as well? Tosis is a little bit bothered by the Gemara's Kasha and says, the people that live there in the town, they know that Yankel Smith, before Pesach, always tries to sell wine for Yom Tov to his kosher consumers. So he takes over the whole industry, at least he takes over this wine press. But how did the Roichlin that come from town to town know that that pinked over here, that this wine press is a kosher process for kosher consumers, and now the Goy has these barrels in his basement or in his room, wherever it is, it can't be in his basement because it's, the Mishnah says it's Pasuach Hashus Rabim. But how does every single Roichel know about the production that this wine happens to be from Eden, so that the Goy should be Mirsis? Tosis talks about this on the side. If you look at the, it's a long, long Tosis, it's for homework. Starts a Matar Yenish al Oivik Kechavim, right? The second big Tosis here on the Amid. If you look about 12 lines into the Tosis, he says, V'hikshir Rabbeinu Tam, Heichi Parach B'gemara Ika Roichel Amazir Ba'i Yaroiz. How do they know that this wine, which happens to be in the open wine cellar of the Goy that people see in the Shisram, how does he know that it belongs to Yidden? That the Goy should be scared of it, he should be nervous about it. After all, in the that's a different story. If they're Yidden that live there, of course I can understand Mirsis. But just because there might be tourists, there might be peddlers, I got to be nervous about that. Anyway, that's why Tosis has different pshatim in this. What is also a very historical footnote in this Tosis. The Tosis tells us that in fact that there were different maduras of Rashi. If you look at the very beginning of the Tosis, it begins Pirush Rashi Madura Basra. Rashi had a second madura, and then. Just to make sure that we don't misunderstand that Rashi, that Tosis. If you look at the sixth wide line of the Tosis, Kach Nir LeBeitam LaHamin Shaseinu V'Chem Pirush Rashi Be Pirushim Rishoinim. In other words, Rashi went through Shas, of course, many times. In his youth, Rashi wrote one pshat, and sometimes in later years, 20 years, 30, 40 years later, he had a Madura Basra where he wrote a different Pirush and a different Psak. Anyway. If a modern scholar wants to end for a steer between Rashi's by saying, oh, this was an earlier Madura, the later Madura, unless he can prove it, people will say that what he's saying is, I don't want to say apikorsis, but they'll say that that's all nonsense. However, if Tosis says it, Tosis the Einiklich of Rashi, one of the preeminent Rishonim, if Tosis says that there were different Maduras of Rashi, you can believe it. But anyway, getting back to our Gemara, Lamaisa, the Gemara says that even if the ear shekila oitik chavim, why don't you say that the goy is mirsis because of the Jewish peddlers coming through the town? Now, if you're wondering, why are there Jewish peddlers coming through a goyish town to sell cosmetics? So, if you look at the second toises on the bottom, much shorter toises than the long toises, v'ikar roichlin, v'yavagav the tekunas Ezra. Oh, that's right, there was the tekunas Ezra. I forgot. However, lehoisel sheyavru ba'ori benois Israel. We're going to see sheloi yiskano al balein. Elsewhere in the Gemara tells us in Bava Kamma that there were 10 takonis of Ezra, and one of the takonis of Ezra was that all Yidden should allow Jewish peddlers to go from town to town, city to city, door to door, selling cosmetics. Why should we allow that? After all, there's a cosmetician that is selling cosmetics on Broadway or on Fifth Avenue. Why do I allow for all these peddlers to walk around and undermine and undercut my business? Ezra said that this is very important because we want there to be as much shulam bias as possible between husbands and wives. Wives often cannot go out. First of all, called kvida bas melech panima. They want to stay at home as much as possible. And number two, in the good old days, this is a befeir sharaya, that they didn't have internet in the good old days, so you couldn't order everything online. Instead, you had to go to the store and stand online. And maybe she's not feeling well, and maybe she can't, and maybe she has 12 kids at home, and she has to do babysitting, whatever. So therefore Ezra, Misaki, and Pedler should go around from door to door selling cosmetics so that the women would always look attractive in the eyes of their husbands. But that's only in the Jewish towns. If it's a Goyish town, is no Indian of the Kones Ezra. Why are they Jewish peddlers? To go from one Jewish town to another Jewish town, often you had to go through a non-Jewish town. So as they are traveling through, they figure, if I can make a couple of dollars by the goyim, matoyim manuim. And that's why these, even though the Kones Ezra is only by the Eden, but it was very motsui, apparently, that the Jewish peddlers would also peddle their goods, even in the goyish towns. See, it's afraid to the Gemara. So why is there a difference between the Ir Sheyesh Ba'ivdikham Yisraelim and those towns where there are only Oivdikachavim, after all the Jewish peddlers there? Everything Gemara Mishmul be Ir Sheyesh Lodlesayim Uvriach. We're talking about a goyish town where nobody could get into the town unless he got a visa or a permit, because they had Lesayim Uvriach. In other words, outside this town, there were very strong gates, and there were bars. You could not get into this town without permission. Not only that, says Rashi, this was such a rarity that anybody that was coming, everybody in town knew about it. You see Rashi, L'saim of Riach, says Rashi, Ein nechnasim ba ele bershus. You want to come into my town? You got to get permission. File your papers. Pay a $50 visa fee. V'kul al-miyadi ki ayli ba. Everybody in town knew. This was such an unheard of, unexpected thing. Once a year, you had people coming through the town. Everybody knew about it. So if the goyisha owner of that property that the wine is in, if he hears that a Jewish peddler is coming, he knows about it. Everybody in town knows about it. They go and send out a hachraza and put up posters. You should be aware that on Monday morning, 9 o'clock, a Jewish peddler is going to come by, and they, at that time, he's going to be careful not to go anywhere near his wine cellar. Okay, Azizok Digmar. Omer of Yosef. Now, even though our Mishnah only talked about that the Pesach of the house of the Oiv Gechavim was Pesuch L'Shus HaRavim, Rav Yosef says, very logically, we can go and extend this not only to the Pesach, but the Chaloin K'Rishus HaRavim Domi. What means Chaloin? This explains Rashi. Even though the door to the house where the wine is in, it opens up to the chotzer, where nobody's passing by, it's not a Rishus Rabbim. However, if there's a chaloin on the other side of the house, a window, and that window you can go and see inside, you can see where the barrels are, that's enough. You don't have to have that the Pesach is Pesuach. A chaloin Pesuach, it doesn't have to be open, but a chaloin where it's visible from the outside, people can look in, that's also enough. Or Rashi gives another pshat that there's a chaloin, even though it doesn't face the Rishus Rabbim, but the house which is opposite it, that is a house that belongs to a Yid, and a Yid has a chaloin, or the Goy has a chaloin, or both of them have chaloinis, and therefore you can look in. The important thing is, the concept is mirsis. If a Yid has access, either by looking through the door or through a window, same thing as says Rav Yosef, Ashbuk Yisraam Dami. There's always a public dump somewhere in the town. If from that public dump you can see into that person's house, even though the doorway to the house is to the chotzer, but the ashba is situated that if a person goes to the top, Rashi says, the ashba, derech ashba lamid b'nei odom aleha. People would go and stand on top of the ashba. If people are standing on top of the ashba, they can look into the other guy's house. That's good enough. It doesn't have to be the Rishus HaRabim. Ashba Rishus HaRabim. Now, if you're wondering, what do people have to do with ashba? Of course, everybody has to go and throw out his garbage in the ashba. But besides that, ashba is often used, that we see in the Gemara, for a place that people would go and use as a beis hakiseh. It's not like today that every apartment has two or three or four bathrooms. You wanted to go to the beis hakiseh, people often would go to the ashba. So, therefore, they were on the ashba, and they would be able to look into other people's houses. And the same thing, v'dikla k'rishus harabim domi. Dikla means that there's a tall palm tree in town, and people want to go and cut down some dates. Or it's before Sikkis, and people want to cut down a lilav, so they're climbing up that dikla. They're able to see in the home of this guy. Oh, if they're able to see in the home of the guy, then he has mirsis. It's like a rishus harab. Now, what happens if psikreishe? What happens if you have taka such a tall palm tree? However, the top of the palm tree was cut down, was cut off, so that you cannot go all the way to the top of the dikwar, even if you could. Rashi says there are no peyrois left, and presumably no lulavim left. And therefore there's no purpose in a person climbing up the dikla. Oh, pligi baravach baravin, chad osir v'chad shari. one says it continues to be asr. Why? Man di asr lama le de salikosam. The one that asrs the wine says, why should anybody climb up a tree that has no lilovim and has no dates, no peiros? What are you wasting your time for? Man di shori zimadiav le abay behema vesalikli yune basra. Remember, we're living in the Gemara's times in an agricultural society that people owned animals. What happens if somebody lost a cow or a shepsala or a goat? How is he able to go and find it? So you want to go to a high place in the town where you can look in all directions. You take your telescope and you look all around. So they would sometimes climb to the top of this decal tree, even though there are no fruits, no lulavim. Why are you climbing up? To look for his behaima. Oh, then you can say that there's a problem of mirsis. What's the mirsis? That the goy is afraid to go and do anything, since if you climb up the tree, you can see into his cellar where he keeps all of the barrels of wine, and therefore mirsis, and that's why shori, it's what? Okay, now we're going to start on a brisa. The brisa has a resha and a sefer. And as you'll see in the Gemara, we're going to go back and forth a little bit, the Reish and the Sefer, so we have to try to concentrate on the Braisha. So the first part of the Braisha, the Reish starts off, Tanur Rabban, Echad Lekech, V'yechad HaSoicher Bayis V'chatzeri Shul Oivik, Chom Meleyu Yayin. Here we're talking about no Jewish production of kosher wine like we were talking about before, but rather we're talking about a Yid that owns a whole bunch of barrels of wine, does not have room in his own wine cellar to store it. So what he did was he either bought or he rented a house in a chotzer that belongs to Oivik Echavim. Remember, when we talk about a chotzer, Oivik Echavim, we don't just mean it's his own private chotzer. You have, like in Masechet Shabbos, you have, why do you have Eruv Chatzeres? Because you have typically four or five families living in one large chotzer, all having a common courtyard. So here too, the Oivik Echavim owned this chotzer and one or two houses perhaps, and he sold or rented out one of the batim to this yid, and the yid is not living there. And he filled it up, he rented the house for storage space. He needs a place to store all of his 100 barrels of wine, put it into that storage space. But the yid doesn't live there, he lives elsewhere. However, good news, the Yisrael Dor Bais HaChotzer, there's another yid that also bought or rented a house in that same chotzer. So now, even though the owner of the wine is not present in the chotzer, he lives somewhere else, but since there is a yid there, then mutter, you don't have to worry that the goy from time to time may decide to go into the house, the storage place of the Jew, and open up one of the barrels and start being menasech, because there's a yid that lives there. Oh, so it's like the halach in our Mishnah, as long as they're oivdei chum Yisraelim, it's mutter, because there's a yid. The aval pisha ein mafteach v'choisim biyada. Even though neither the owner of the wine nor the other Yisrael owns a mafteach or choisim. In other words, the goy could come in anytime he wants because the wine is not, he has access, shkoyach, because this wine is not locked up with a mafteach or choisim. Still mutter because of mirsis, he's afraid of that yid. That's the ratio of the ratio. Now we come to the safe of the ratio. If it's chotzer acheres, meaning there's no Yisrael that lives in that chotzer. There's Yisrael who lives next door in the next chotzer, but not in that chotzer. Oh, it's still mutter. How can it be mutter? There's no yivim. Oh, now we have to add v'shemafteach v'choysim biyodoy. Has to be that he's holding on to a mafteach or a choysim. Mafteach, of course, is a key. Choysim means that there's some sort of seal around the barrels. In such a case, then the goy is not going to go and touch it, even though there's no Yisrael that lives in this particular chotzer. But nevertheless, because of the fact that it's under lock and key, so to speak, so you don't have to worry about that, the goy is going to tamper with the lock, break the lock, put in a new lock with the same cylinder so you can use the same key or whatever, and you don't have to worry, he's going to open the chotzer and put a new chotzer on, because of the fact that mafteach v'chotzer miyodei, and there's Yisrael b'chotzer acheres, is mutter. By the way, there are some mafarshim that learn that mafteach v'choisim doesn't mean either a mafteach or a choisim, but it means a mafteach and a choisim. You'll recall back earlier on Daf Lamed Aleph, we had a machloikis when it talks about choisim, is one choisim enough? Or legabe wine, you have to have choisim betoy choisim. You have to have two choisamais, and therefore it's both a mafteach and a choisim biyode. Both he has to have that there is a seal on the barrel of wine, and he's holding on to a mafteach. Then it's mutter, but one choisim or one mafteach would not be enough, because you have to worry about the goy. So with this, we have concluded the reisha of the braisa, where we're talking about Yisrael ba'oisa chotzer, mutter, even without a mafteach for choisim. Second case was Yisrael ba'chotzer cheres is mutter, but you have to have the mafteach for choisim. Now let's go to the seif of the braisa. Hamitar yein shelo yichav mirshusoy. Ah, that's the case of our Mishnah. Mitar yein means that the yid is making a kosher run, a kosher production, and he leaves the barrels of wine mirshusoy in the rishus of the goy. However, Yisrael da boy is a chotzer. There's the Yisrael that lives in that chotzer. Vayta nochem ul mutter. But v'mashafteach shemafteach v'choisim biyodai. Why do you have to mafteach v'choisim biyodai? Either is Yisrael boy is a chotzer, because since it's not in the rishus of the Jew. Remember, the ratio was that a Jew rented or bought a storage space in that chotzer. Here we're talking about that the wine is in the shus of the goy. So even though there's a Yisrael da boy is a chotzer, says the Braisa, it's mutter only if the Yisrael has a mafteach v'choisim biyote. Omle Rabbi Yochanan letana, no, Rabbi Yochanan says, I respectfully disagree. Tani, av b'she'ein mafteach v'choisim biyote mutter. In other words, just like the reisha of the reisha of this Braisa. Remember back on the Omer Aleph, we said, as long as there's Yisrael do b'oisa chotzer, av b'she'ein mafteach v'choisim biyote. So even though it's a different case here in the Sefer, the Reisha was talking about the Jewish-owned barrels of wine. Here we're talking about the kosher run, which is still in the Rishus of the Goy. So the Biyachim doesn't make a difference. The important thing is that there is a Yisrael Dor Ba'isa Chatzer, Mutalach, Mutalach, even without a Mafteach V'Chayse. However, what happens with Yisrael is Dor B'Chatzer Acheres. He lives in another Chatzer, like the top case here on the Amid Beis. Then it's Osir, Aval Bish Mafteach V'Choisim Biyadoi, even though the Mafteach V'Choisim, because remember, it's in his own Rishus, and there's no Yid living in this Chatzer, he only lives elsewhere. Even a Mafteach V'Choisim is not sufficient, it's Osir, Divrei Meir. The Chachamim Oisrim, the Chachamim say, no, it's Osir, Achei Shoimer Yoishiv U'Meshamer. Now before we continue on, we have a big problem over here. The Gemara is going to ask this question in one more line, and that is, what did Rameir say? Rameir said, "Bechatzer cheres, it's osur, osur." The Chum say, "No, don't say it's osur. It's oisrin, it's osur." So, what's the difference between Rameir and the Chacham? They're both saying osur, osur. Why are the Chum arguing with Rameir? They should say, "Rameir, you're absolutely right. It's osur." Okay, the Gemara is going to ask that momentarily. You have to have a shoymer, a little mashkiach there. Or he doesn't have to be there 24/7, as long as a shoymer mamuna who comes at set times. In other words, he comes every day, 10 o'clock, 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, whatever the time is. And the Gemara is going to ask a very timely question and say if he comes at specific times, then there's no mirsis. Because the goy knows he only comes at 10 o'clock, so he knows that at 9 o'clock or 11 o'clock he can play around with the wine. And the Gemara is going to change the girsa at the end and say that it has to be that he's a muna that comes shaloi bekitzin. In other words, not at set times. He can come 24/7, 3 o'clock in the middle of the morning. He can go and knock on the door and come in and check out what's going on with the barrels of wine.
Rameh doesn't seem to have the heter of Yeshua.
Well, let's see. The Gemara is going to ask this kasha right now. So Rabbi Yosef is being ma'oder. We have here in the Sefer, remember, we have here, Rabbi Yisai, four cases altogether. Two cases of the Reisha, two cases of the Sefer. The two cases of the Reisha were talking about wine that was owned by a Jew, and the Jew rented space, a storage space there in the Chatzer. First case of the Reisha was, there's a Yisrael that lives in that Chotzer, so you don't have to worry. Seifa was a case of, that there is no Yisrael in that Chotzer, he's in another Chotzer, but Mafteach v'Choisim v'Yodoi, that were the two cases of the Reisha. Now the cases of the Seifa were, that the wine did not belong to the Jew, that the wine was produced by the Jew and made a kosher run, but it's still in the Rishus of the Goy. And again, the Sefer, there's a difference between Yisrael in that Chatzah or Yisrael in another Chatzah. I'm only telling you this, Rabbi said, because that's going to be the pattern of the Gemara now. Zokti Gemara. Chachomim ahai. This last Chachom that are Oisrin, on which case are they going? Ilema Sefer, they're going mamish on the Sefer of the Sefer, the very last case. That what was the last case? We have there the kosher run. It's owned and it's held in the Rishus of the Goy. Says the Sefer, but if there's no Yid living in that Chatzer, says Rameir, even Mafteh, v'chois v'yadei, Asur, Asur. Even though he has a Mafteh, he has a Chois, Asur. V'chom say, don't say Asur. V'chom oisrin, unless you have a Mashgiach. V'chom v'chom ahai, ilay ma Sefer, Tanakama, nami me iser ka'asa. He Asurs, and the Chomam Asur. Why are you screaming with Rameir? You should go and applaud Rameir. Rameir, you're right, you're Asur, unless and until you get a Mashgiach. And the Gemara assumes that Rameir would also agree that if you have a Mashgiach, that's good. Rameir was talking about in the absence of a Mashgiach, and there's no Yid that lives there. You can have as many Mafteches and Choysim as you want. You got a problem. There's no Yid over there. You can't go and say that Rameir argues on this Shoimer business, because after all, he also agrees in the Reisha that if there's a Yisrael, Dor Ba'isa Chatzar, that's enough. So he agrees that there's quote-unquote Hashgacha. And no Yisrael that lives in that Chatzar lives there 24 hours. People, of course, come and go throughout the day. They go to Davinen, they go to learn, they go to Mismedish, they go to work, they go to Chasinus. Nobody's there 24 hours. It's like the Gemara that you have in Bava Basra that talks about that you want to prove 3 years that a person lived. He has a chazakah. Hey, so you ask the neighbors. Neighbors don't have to go and testify was here 24/7. They have to see that they constantly saw it coming and going, going and coming. That's sufficient.
Maybe Abu Lakitzim won't work.
No, what's
maybe Abu Lakitzim won't work. According to Chum, Abu Lakitzim works.
You mean
according to the Meir, Abu Lakitzim does not work.
See, the top toises talks about that. If you look at the top toises, Tema, Rabbi Yosef is asking, maybe there is a machlokes between Rameir and the Chachamim, that Rameir says you have to have somebody living there 24 hours. And the Chachamim is saying, Ibe Yoitz V'Nichlis. Look at the top toy. He says, Tema, Hainu Reisha, the Yisroel, the Chachamim Dorimba, the Ein Loimar, the Itzrach Li Yoitz V'Nichlis. Don't tell me that the reason why we're bringing this is to tell you the Noitz V'Nichlis. Donami Shemina Me Reisha, the Tani Dorimba, the Jey Noitz V'Nap, the Yishloimah, the Havamina, the Ik Yisroel Tuva, Kamashulan, the Filu V'Chad Saki. So what Tosis is telling us is, why is the Mishnah or the Braisa repeating that we said, this Bemison, this Tosis goes on the Umar Aleph, it's going on the Mishnah. But it's the same in Yener Baisai. We're distinguishing between a Chatzir that has Yisraelim Darimba, or you have a Chatzir that no Yisraelim Darimba. And it says, as long as you have a Mashgiach, that's sufficient. So what's the Chiddush over here? If you have a Mashgiach there, isn't that the same as a Yisrael Dorimba? So what's the difference between the Reish and the Sefer? Zog Teisvis, Havaminad Ik Yisrael Tuva. When it says in our Mishnah, Yisrael Dorba, Yisrael could mean one Yid, and Yisrael could mean B'nai Yisrael. Maybe they're 5 Yid and 10 Yid. Therefore, Kamashulana Fil B'chad Tzaki. So there is no Machloikis, and that everybody agrees, one Shoimer is sufficient. So that being the case, getting back to our Gemara, what are the Chachomim adding to the Mishnah, to the Braisa, when they're arguing with Rameir, since both Rameir and the Chum both hold. As long as you have one Yid, one Shoimer, Shengenuk. So what's the Chiddush? Says the Gemara, you're 100% right. So again, Achom Ahai, Ilei Maseif on this last case, Tanakam and Nami Mesekosa. Rameir also says that it's awesome. The El Aresha the Seifa. Ah, so probably it's going on the Resha of the Seifa. Now what's the Resha of the Seifa? Resha of the Seifa is, we started on the second line here on the Amid Beis, there's Yisrael that lives in that Chatzar. Mutter, Mafteach, V'choisim B'yodai. Ah, and on that you're saying or suggesting that the Chum say, no. Even though there's Yisrael, Dor Ba'is Chatzar, it's Aser, until you have a Mashgiach. Freit Yimara, that's not logical. V'ka'omah le'Rabbi Yochanan, remember on line 4, Rabbi Yochanan, when he heard the Talmud repeating this braisa, he said, don't learn mutter v'hushim mafteach, but learn mutter v'avu b'she'ein mafteach v'choysim b'yodai, which means, v'hakam le Rabbi Yochanan letana t'ni avu b'she'ein mafteach v'choysim b'yodai, which means that it's such a dover portion. As long as you have one yid there that lives in the chatzin mutter, you don't need mafteach, you don't need choysim, you don't need anything. Astachayir. If that's so davar pashit, it's hard to believe that the Chum would say, no, it's asur. After all, Rabbi Yochanan is amending the braisa to go make more kulois, more leniency. You don't need the mafteach. It's mutter fil on them. Would Rabbi Yochanan say that in the face of Chacham that it say that it's asur achi shoymer yoshem mishamer? That doesn't sound right. You're right. Vela sefer dereisha. Let's go to the sefer dereisha. Sefer dereisha is the top line here on the Amid Beis, where there's no Yisrael in that chotzer. There's only Yisrael bechotzer acheres. Mutter v'mishamafteach v'chois v'yotei. The Ka'amar Tanekamo, repeating that top line of the Amid Beis chotzer acheres. Mutter v'mishamafteach v'yotei. On that chomoimrim, I'm very sorry. If there's no Yisrael living in that chotzer, mafteach and choisim is garnished. Loilam osir ache shoyim yoyishim mashamer, o yachi yovim emunah ba'li kitzin. Period. So now the Gemara has finally determined where these chachamim should be placed in the braisa. Obviously, these chachamim are very, very genteel, real gentlemen. They didn't go and insert themselves in the reisha. They waited until Reb Meir finished off the whole braisa. And the chachamim say, oh, by the way, on the top line, the sefer of the reisha, where it says that if a Yisrael dar b'chotzer acheres, it's mutter as long as it's a mafteach v'choisim, I'm very sorry, we respectfully disagree. A choisim mita mafteach is gunished. The only way that you're guaranteed that this goy is not going to tamper with the barrels of wine is only if you have a mashkiach. It doesn't have to be mashkiach 24/7. As long as he comes in from time to time, his alis is good and fine. So with this, we've concluded the braisa. And now the Gemara is asking what we would call a zaitig akasha, like we asked earlier. It says the mamuna bala kitzin. That's a mala kreyusi. That's a tremendous chasaran. Because if the owner knows that the mashgiach only comes at certain times during the day or night, then he'll just make sure not to tamper with it at that time. Elisatimo, you're right. Achimamuna she ain't a bala kitzin. You have to have mashgiach that can come at any time he wants. You have such a mashgiach, then you know that you don't have to worry about the balbus, because the balbus cannot tamper with the wine, or at least his mirzis, because any time that he's at that time opening and tampering, pink then the mashgiach walks in, and therefore he'll always be concerned, he'll always be nitis. So don't be goitis about the kitzen, but she ain't about the kitzen, he can come in any time he wants. Remember, when we learned the braisa, and Rashi already said, Mefarish Gemara. What is this? Reb Shimon Eluza Oimer Rishus Evi Chom Achasi. So now, remember that this Reb Shimon Eluza comes up back in our Mishnah, where in the Mishnah it said that if the wine was Rishus Hagoy, in his Rishus, says the Tanakam in the Mishnah, you have to have a mashgiach there, but he doesn't have to be the 24/7. It's enough yoitz v'nichnas. So Reb Shimon Eluza Rishus Evi Chom Achasi. It's all one rishus. Now, what does that mean? So remember, we said already in the Mishnah briefly that the Mishnah is talking about in the reisha that the wine is in the rishus of the goy, and now it depends whether they're goyim and yidden in the town or they're only goyim in the town. Now Reb Shimon Eluza says, what happens if the wine is not in the shus of the original goy, it's in the shus of a second goy, meaning that the original goy did not have enough room in his storage house, in his cellar, for all the barrels of wine, and rather he took these barrels of wine that were the kosher run, and he left it in the shus of a second goy, one of his competitors, or one of his friends, whatever. He left it over there. What would be the din? Our Mishnah doesn't address that. Mishnah just says, "Nois merishusoi," in his own rishus. It depends whether or not there's Jewish traffic going by, seeing and looking in, or there are no Jews, there are only goyim in that town. Roichlin can't get in because you have to have a special permit, which they only give you once a year, etc., etc. So nobody's going to see. Says the Tanakam, then you have to have a shoymer. Without a shoymer, toynish. Yeah, but the Mishnah doesn't address what happens if Willie, the owner of these, of the property of the, he doesn't own the barrels of wine, this is the kosher run, which are in his rishus. What happens if he doesn't have room in his rishus? So Willie gives it to Billy. What's the status then? So our Mishnah is silent. Reb Shimon Elazar says the Rishus of all Goyim is considered to be like what? What is Reb Shimon Elazar adding or arguing with the Tanakhama? So that's going to be now Machloikis, Zokti Gemara, Ibailahu, Reb Shimon Elazar, Lahakel, Oila Hachmir. Does he come to be Mekel? Does he come to be Machmir? Yehuda Omar Ziri, Yehuda Omar Ziri, Lahakel has come to be Mekel. Reb Nachman Omar Ziri comes to be Machmir. So what does that mean? Yehuda Omar Ziri, Lahakel, Lahakikon. Tanakhama says, Kishem shir rishus say asur kach rishus oivik achovim acher nami asur. In the seifa of the case of our Mishnah, where there are only goyim, there are no Jews that are walking around in town. So the lechoyd of the goy has no reason to be mirsis. So that being the case, as Dr. Tanakhama, according to this v'hachi kamar, it makes no difference if the wine is in his rishus, or it happens to be the rishus of Billy Willie, the guy next door. It makes no difference. It's osur. Why? Because there are no Jews around. So just like he might tamper with the barrels in his own rishus, he might tamper with the barrels in the other guy's rishus.
The other guy may tamper with it also.
Or maybe the other guy will also tamper with it. The assumption is that the other guy has no interest in it, and he probably is afraid that if he tampers with it, then the first goy will have a tan on him. But let's address that in a moment. Zukti Mora v'chashinen legomlin. What means chashinen legomlin? So Rashi explains that normally you would assume that if one goy asks the second goy, do me a favor, or I'll pay you, hold on to these 50 barrels of wine in your wine cellar, I don't have room in my wine cellar. And the second guy will say, whose barrels are these? Oh, this is part of that kosher run that I always do once a year before Pesach, because the Jews need so much wine, blah, 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 blah. They don't have enough goyish shkutzim to go and kill and make from their blood wine, so they have to go make some wine from grapes. So they have the special kosher run, they left me 50 barrels, I don't have room, I want to put it on your ishus. So normally you would think that people that are responsible would... The second goy would not allow the first goy to open up those barrels of wine. Because he would say to him, you know, listen, you told me it's the kosher on barrels. Why are you tampering with it? Why are you opening it? Says the Tanakhama, I'm chashin legomlin. What's gomlin? Gomlin means, this year, it's Willie that's making the kosher run. Next year, it might be Billy, the competitor. He might be making the kosher run. And so therefore, Willie says to Billy, you better let me open up your barrels, because next year, if you're holding on to these barrels and you give them to me, I'll be happy to hold them, and I might go and tamper with it, or I'll allow you to go and tamper with it. In other words, goyim means that each one allows access to the other goy, figuring, this year I need access, but next year you might need the access. So I'm not going to snitch on you, you won't snitch on me, and therefore we'll both be able to go and open up the barrels without any yid knowing about it, because I'm not going to tell if you, and you're not going to tell if I. Chayshin legam. When did we say in the Mishnah that it happens to be mutter? Only which cases that it's osur, because there are no yidin around. If that goy keeps it in his rishus, if it happens to be in another goy's rishus, and who am I concerned about? That first goy is going to tamper with the wine barrels in the rishus of the other goy, mutter. He's going to be mirsis. Why is he going to be mirsis? Because the second goy may snitch. The Jew finds out that the barrels of wine are not in the first goy's rishus, in the second goy's rishus. He's going to call him up and he's going to say, hey, Billy, tell me, did the first goy tamper with the wine? No, he didn't touch it. I didn't allow anybody access to these bottles of wine. These barrels of wine have been here now for the last 2 weeks. Nobody has ever come through my house, through my door, into the cellar. Nobody's touched it. Kainanish. And I'm not worried about this svar of goyim, that this year he's going to allow the first goy to go and open up the barrels. Because just in case next year I leave the barrels with him, then I also want to have access. No, we're not choishish. We're assuming that these goyim are, at least the second goy that's holding on to the barrels, is trustworthy. And that's what Reb Shimon Elazar is saying. So Reb Shimon Elazar now in the Mishnah is saying Beloshin Bitmiya. Reb Shimon Elazar says, the Tanakhama said it makes no difference where you leave the barrel of wine, whether you leave it by the first guy or you leave it by a second guy. In all cases, you go and say that it's osir since there are no Jews in town. And Chayshin Legomlin, so Reb Shimon Elazar says now, Are you telling me that all the rishuyas of all the goyim in town, it's all one rishus? Avadanisht. If it's a rishus of the first goy, awesome. But once he transferred it to the second goy, I don't have to worry about that the first goy is going to visit the second goy to go and open up the barrels and tamper with them, be menasachit. I'm not worried. So therefore, it's a beloshin bitmiya, says Rashi. So therefore, this Reb Shimon Elazar therefore is a greiser maker, because the Tanakhama said in all cases, I am machmir, side by Willie, side by Billy, side by Johnny, side by any guy. Osir, chayshin legomel. No. Only worried about the first guy, and not the second guy. Reb Nachman was either hachmir punkt faket, just the opposite. Vachikom at Tanakhama. Tanakhama said, the medvam amurim. When do I say it's osir vitz birshu soy? Why is it mutter? I'm not worried about that the second goy is going to allow the first goy access to tamper with the wine. He's not going to. And if he does go to the wine and tamper with it, the second goy will tell the yid, I want you to know, you're asking me the question, I'm going to tell you the truth, that the goy came in and he tampered with it and he opened up the seals and he was menasef the wine and he put the seal back together again. They come to Gansamasa. Azeizog to Tanikama. Of the brisa, only in the rishus soy is osir rishus of the chem mutter. But criminal laws are aimer now just the opposite. Kol rishus of the chem achasi, it makes no difference in the rishus of the first guy, the second guy, the twelfth guy. You always have to be choishish that he was menasach the wine and chayshinon ligayim. And therefore, now it's no longer beloshin bitmiya, now it's beloshin nichusa. The Tanakhama says only the rishus of the first guy. So criminal laws are, nay, you're wrong. It makes no difference. Willie, Billy, Johnny, they're all the same. Rishus, chayshin alikom. So the ma'isa come to chayis from our Gemara, whether you learn like the first Amoira, whether you learn like Shimon Elazar, I'm sorry, whether you learn like Yehud in the name of Zairi, or you learn like Nachman in the name of Zairi, everybody agrees that that is the machloikis between the Tanakam and Shimon Elazar. The only machloikis between them is who holds what. Is it the Tanakhama that says that Rishus of all the Goyim is the same, makes no difference, Goy 1, Goy 2, Goy 3, and Chayshin and the Gomlin, says Reb Shimon Elazar, no, there's a difference between the first Goy and the second Goy. Or is it the other way around, that the Tanakhama says that there's a chilik between one Goy and the other Goy? And then Reb Shimon Elazar says, no, all the Goyim are the same. Are you Chayshin the Gomlin, not Chayshin the Gomlin? So the Machloikis is the same, only question is, which Mandi Omar said what? If you're wondering what difference does it make, as you know, typically yochid v'rabim halacha kirabim. So if the rabim are the ones that are machmir, we're presumably going to paskin like them against Reb Shimon Elazar. If you're going to tell me that the chacham are the ones that are mekel, we're going to paskin like them against Reb Shimon Elazar. So therefore, it makes enough kmina. Who's the one that holds the svar of goyimlin? Who's the one that doesn't hold the svar of goyimlin? Tani kavosad Nachman amaziri lahachmir. I have a brice om Reb Shimon Elazar. Kol rishus oyde kachovim achasi. Every goy in town is considered to be like one big goy. Ramoin, of course, means the cheats and the thieves. But says Rashi, goyim lin zeh lo zeh. Every goy is going to go and cover up for the other goy. So if the first goy went and tampered with the wine, he was menasach the wine by the second goy, by the third goy. Each guy, when they are challenged by the Jew in court or outside of court, they're all going to go and swear and say, no, nobody touched this wine, nobody came close, I sealed it off, nobody had access to it, it's all baloney. You have to be worried about the fact that each one allowed the other one access because of Goimlin, because next year the situation may be totally in reverse, that it's the second guy that left the wine with the first guy, and he'll want to have access to. So therefore, they'll all be, as Igmar quotes it, mechapa. They're all going to cover up for the other guy. Zokti Igmar Yetz. The Gemara tells us now a story. The Beit Parzik Rufila. Parzik was his name. Mr. Parzik. Rufila means, says Rashi, Sheini Lamelech. He was like Yosef Atzadik, Lahavdil. He was the second in charge in America, the vice president. So the Beit Parzik Rufila, Yisivu Chama Gabe Arisayu. They had barrels of wine, and they left those barrels of wine by their oris. And here we're talking about, again, kosher barrels of wine, because if we're talking about non-kosher, why are we talking about it? So these are kosher barrels of wine, the Parzik Rufila left by his Oris. You all know it. Was up there? The Oris was a guy. The Silver Rabban and Kami the Rav
Lemeimar.
The Parzik was a guy, and the Oris were a guy. They were goyim gemurim, 100 doyrus. They had yichas briefs all the way back to Isa Varusha or to Yishmur. Anyway, so what happens? Now, the Parzik Rufila, who was the initial guy that was holding the kosher wine, said, I don't have room in my wine cellar. I'm leaving it with my Oris. So, the Rabbanan initially thought that in the machloikis that we had before, Yochashin legomim, Nishchashin legomim, Hani mili hecha deka moisiv hai gabe hai. That if it would be two competitors who are both goyim, who both own wine presses, and therefore one of them is going to want to make the kosher wine production this year, and the other one's going to do a kosher wine production next year. So there might be a gomlin if each one of them is going to leave the wine in the other goy's reshus. Aval hocha kim darise lav darkeli suve bei parzik rufila. I never heard that the Oris is going to knock at the door of the vice president and say to him, you know, I have some extra barrels of wine. Can I leave it with you? The parzik rufila is going to go and close the door in his face and say, who are you? You're my Oris. Of course, even though an Oris is a sharecropper, but in a sense, he's an employee. So you can expect the employer to ask the employee, hold on to these barrels of wine for me, do me a favor. However, to go and expect the employee to leave it with the employer, if that employer is a pompous individual, and anybody in government by definition is pompous, look at our president. So you see that it's hardly unlikely that anybody's going to ask a toiva from Parzik Rufila, can I leave my barrels of wine with you? So l'chayr, there's no shash of gomlin over here. Amlu Rava, so Rava said to the Talmidim, you're wrong, adraba punfakert. Afilamandi amaloichai shidin legomlin. Hani mi hechad loy mirsis minei. When you're talking about two separate goyim, where there is no mirsis one from the other, in other words, they're both on the same level and status in society, so they're not afraid of each other, and I don't have to worry about gomlin. Willie is not going to go and cover up for Billy. Billy is not going to cover up for Willie. If one of them goes and touches the barrels of wine, the other one is going to go, he's going to tell the truth. The whole truth and nothing but the truth. Yes, he came and he touched my wine barrels. He touched your barrel, wine barrels. Avahok, in the case of the Oris, Kim the Mirsis Mine. The Oris, by definition, is afraid of the, in this case, the Parzik Rufila, because if he messes up and if he doesn't do a cover up, Parzik Rufila is going to throw him into the dungeons. He's going to get rid of him immediately. Any Oris, he loses his job forever. So he'll be Mirsis Menei, he's going to go and be scared. Is Machapiale, Rachis Machapiale, he's going to cover up for him. And Zchusa, he'll even be willing to go and be made Lischusoi in court, yes, on a stack of Bibles. He's going to go and swear that Beit Parzik Rufila didn't touch any of the wine, even though it's baloney. He touched all the barrels of wine. So therefore, in the case of an Oris, because of his status vis-a-vis Beit Parzik Rufila, or vis-a-vis any employer, everybody would agree, Chashin Legomlin, and therefore the wine would be Osir, unless, again, you have a Yid living there, or you have a Mashgiach, like we said before. And finally, the Gemara tells us, Hu Karcha. Rashi said, Karcha means a krach, a town, a village, a city. There were barrels of wine there in that city. And one day we see a goy who dreitzach. Dreitzach means he's walking around and in between these barrels of wine. Vus dreitzach, why goy? What are you standing there? Why are you looking? What are you there for? Oh, Amarava, it depends on the individual goy. In Nitvis Alav Kiganov, if he's the type of goy, says Rashi, who is a bit of a weakling, and he's afraid of the police, and he's afraid of the media, and he's afraid of the judges, that he might have the appearance of a ganav, then Chamra Shorim. He's going to be super careful. If he's standing there, he's not going to touch anything. Look at the Rashi. Two lines before the end of the parak. Nitvis Alav Kiganov, im oivicham cholishu. By nature, he's kind of a weakling. He's afraid of getting an indictment and being prosecuted and being going in front of the judges. And if it looks like he's touching one of the barrels, Nifas all over Gaganov goes, hey, Aganov, what are you doing here among the barrels? What are you touching the barrels? and we're afraid that you're going to steal them, or you're going to open them, you're going to be menasach them. In such a case, chamer shori, the wine is mutter, because he's not going to touch it. He's mirsis. Eloi, if he's the type of guy who says, the judges, I know the judges, and I am on good terms with all of them, nothing's going to happen. Oh, in such a case, then it's also because he's not mirsis, because maybe, in fact, noga in the wine. Otherwise, what is he? Why is he walking around the wine barrels? He said nothing else to do, because he wants to be nagin. So we finished the parak, but before we finish the daf, Rabbi Isai, you'll notice here on the bottom, Rashi decided to make a sum total, a summary of all the halachas we've been learning for the last 5-6 days about Yayin Nesach. Rashi says it very, very succinctly, and of course other Rishonim disagree with a lot of the halachas that Rashi is saying, but since Rashi makes a quick summary, I think it's kedai to go just through it quickly. Maskana de Milta, all the way in the bottom of the Rashi. Magoiv Gechoven. Now you have to change the gears just slightly, and Rashi says this is Gimel in the Bach. Bikavona. The goy touched the wine bikavona. However, not necessarily bikavona lenasech, but rather he was miskavin, like Rashi say in a moment, because he was an agardeman. He was hired by the government to go and check out the wine in town to make sure that people are selling it at the right price. It's not inferior wine that he's charging double. So Maga Bikhovim, Kimishiniskavan Liga. He was miskaven. Bikavana, he touched the wine. And he was mishakshik the wine. Avo bishloi nisich, even if he didn't do a nisich, as asibana. In other words, even though I didn't see with my own eyes that he was mishakshik and he was menasech, it's asibana. Where do we know this? Mi masnisa, from the price of agardimim oivik chavim. Why do we say that it's asibana? Misham leich, leich, am nazira, schor, schor, le karma loi sikarv. So you gotta be careful. So this is a case where we know for sure that the Oivuchav was mechavin to touch the wine, but not that we know that he was mechavin to touch the wine to be menasseh. He was mechavin to touch the wine, to taste it, to make sure that it's up to standards for government purposes. Oh, but I have to be concerned. Since I have to be concerned, it's not also b'shtiyah. If I knew that he was mechavin to be menasseh, then it'd be real yayin nesach also b'shtiyah. I just know that he was Muhammad to touch it. I don't know whether he was Yom Menasech, Lish Menasech, Osban. Next case. What about a goy that touches the wine, Shloy Bekavana? Why? How do you have Shloy Bekavana? Goy Lihikr by Shuyayin. He didn't even know there was wine. Then it's Mutabana. Mi Masnisa de Chorem Oyvik Chav. Remember, Chorem Rashi said before, I'm a sugar. He was at Sidrait and Nebuchad, demented goy. And he touches everything. And Rashi said, remember, the Gemara said he thought it was Shemen. And he put his hand in. He takes out his hand. This is Nishka Shemen. This is vine. So he didn't intend to be Menasechit. So with Shaloi B'Kavona, it's also B'Shtiyah, because after all, he still put his hand in it. Schor Schor, the Kamle Sikar, but it's Mutter Bahano. V'chein, same thing, Nafal Abar. Nami, that was the Mishnah of yesterday. A person falls into the bar. He was not Mechavim to fall into the bar. He never fell over into the bar. And remember, the Gemara said he didn't even live. He didn't come out. Tsunami, Shaloi Bikabanahu, Mutubano, Mi Masis, and that's what we had in the Mishnah, it's Mutubano. But only because he came out dead. Had he come out alive, we're afraid that he was Manasakhit to thank his God that he's still alive. But hey, Niskamalita Dabar Akhir, what happens if he put in his hand, not to touch the wine, he wanted to chap, going the Esri. Remember the Esri Garavashi that fell to the bottom, was falling to the bottom of the barrels, he quickly chapped it. What did Ravashi give an Aitza? Ravashi said, hold on to his hand, that you shouldn't move it, and pour off the wine into another container, and then he can pull his hand out because it won't be immersed in the wine any longer. Again, that was Ravashi Shloi B'Kavanahu. He put his hand in, was Shloi B'Kavanah, to be Menasech. Umutter Bano, again in Mutter Bano. Ma'agoy V'Kavam, Ayidei Dover Achik, going B'Kana. What happens if he touched it like with a stick? On the Yonish Neskam of the Dover Achik. We know that his kavana was not to be menasech. We don't know that he was not to be menasech, but he knows that he put it in the wine for another purpose. Kigoyin, like mudder the bekana. He wanted to go and measure it with the kana to see what the volume is. Oy hitis is a tzira. There was a wasp or a hornet, and he pushed the wine and the tzira away so that it shouldn't go and infect the wine. Again, mutter. Why is mutter? Bahano mi maslisa. Again, from the Mishnah of yesterday. We know he put his hand in the kavana, but I don't know what he was mechavin. Osibana.
How do I know? Mehu uvda debiram de sharia rav mishum shalei bekavana hava. Or bekavana zaser. What was the case of biram by rav? That was the case of the person who was climbing down the tree, holding a lulav there for desperate life, so that it shouldn't, the tioimus shouldn't get split. And as he's coming down, guess what happened? Somehow he slips or whatever, and the top or the bottom of the lulav touched the wine that was down below. Rav said, Kusha Shlebi Kavana, because it was clear with Shlebi Kavana, he didn't want to stir up the wine with his lulav. Habi Kavana, but if it was Kavana, but it's awesome. Next case, Koyichai Shlebi Kavana Chiburin. That was the Oirik Oruki case. What was the Oirik Oruki? Remember that the waiter poured the wine. How he didn't put in a natla, he didn't put in a ladle. He just poured it from the original container. Hikabashu Yain, if the waiter would have seen that it was Yain, if it would not have been Lila, or if he would be able to smell it because it was not brand new wine, that's Ashbana. However, because of the fact that it was Oyre Yeruke, Mirab Yoichan and the Omar Tseva Hakris Aliena Mishim Yain, Nesam Mishim Lech Lech, that's only if Hikabai. But Lo Hikabai, if he was not Makir, Mutter Afishtia, then you can even drink from it. How do I know you can drink from it? That was the case. Remember, the two were drinking wine together, and they asked the waiter to go and pour. They thought it was a yin, and afterwards they discovered he was a goy. Why? Remember, the Gemara said, he said that if these Jews are drinking, these distinguished rabbis, they're drinking wine, they wouldn't ask me to go and pour. Muzak signed that they're drinking beer. So he didn't even know that it was wine. So therefore, there was no reason why he should go and make it be menasechit, there's beer. So that's why, sharia filibishtia. And mishalim b'chiburin, what happens if the goy didn't touch it with his hand, he didn't touch it with a stick, he didn't touch it with a natla, with a kona mit kunish, nishmit kalilif, but kigoyin zrika, that was the final case we had yesterday, that he threw something into the bore down below, then mutter af b'shtia filin eskabin, even though he was mechavin to go and throw something, and he wanted to be menasech, this is gunish. That's when Ravashi Yama Kosha Bazav Tor. By Khovim any Oise Yayan Nesach. By a Zov. A person's a Zov. If he throws a ball to you, you don't become tummy as a result. If he touched you with the ball in his hand, the chiburin, you'd become tummy. But he throws it at you, you don't become tummy. Same thing is, if the Oivin Khovim touches the wine with his hand, or he touches him with Ashtekin, then you gotta worry about Yayan Nesach. But throwing something is gunish. Kahi Yarav Uposek Halochalem Maisa. And aloha lemaisa today, if you have any shalas, go and ask your confident Orthodox rabbi. Have a wonderful day. Zag Yibayim, Zag Yibayim.